It's no secret that a lot of us think that Iowa is a special place to live. And it's also not a secret that a lot of us think Iowans are pretty special people. This hour, we'll explore Iowa culture. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today, what makes Iowa, Iowa? And what makes Iowans, Iowans? My guests are historian Tom Moraine of Graceland University in Lamoni and Mike Draper of Raygun, a satirical t-shirt company based in Des Moines. We also want to hear from you this hour. What do you think makes Iowa unique? And we're at the midway point of our year-end membership drive. Please join us at iowapublicradio.org. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. As Iowans, we like to talk about Iowa nice, Iowa manners, and Iowa stubborn. But what really makes our state special or different? This hour, we're going to talk about Iowa culture, and we do want to hear from you. What do you think makes Iowa unique? Are we really as nice as we like to give ourselves credit for being? You can join our conversation this hour at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, or you can post on our Iowa Public Radio Facebook page. And with me now is Tom Moraine. He's a historian at Graceland University in Lamoni. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Tom's got the historical aspects of Iowa culture covered for us. And for our modern culture, we have asked Mike Draper to be here in the studio with us today. Mike Draper is the founder and owner of Raygun, a satirical t-shirt company based in Ames. He would also probably want you to know that it's also known as the greatest store in the universe. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
And as I mentioned before, we do want to hear from you this hour. So give us a call at 866-780-9100. And Tom, let's start with history. Let's go back and talk about the people who settled the state of Iowa, because the people who settled the state of Iowa did shape our culture in this state. Where did they come from?
Well, we probably could describe them as three groups. One were the Yankees, Northeasterners. That would include also the middle colonies, New York, New Jersey, that region. And they came along the Ohio River Valley and the Great Lakes coming in, and they settled primarily in the eastern and northern part of the state. We also had an upward migration from the south, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, coming into the bottom two tiers of the state. And then beginning around 1840, 1850s, we had a huge wave of immigrants. As Europe was going into turmoil, a lot of those people were looking for places to come, and a lot of those were rural, and the farmlands of Iowa looked pretty good to them.
Now, of course, the people who were coming here from the Northeast and the people who are coming here from the South, it's not like they had been in the United States for all that long before they came here either. Do you think they were more shaped by where they were coming from in the United States or where they had come from before?
The United States, from its colonial times, and you got to remember, we were 175 years of settlement before we became an independent country. Mm-hmm. And we weren't one culture. We were a collection of very diverse people. The South and the North and the Appalachian regions, they had different dialects. They had different cultural patterns. We had some common threads together, but this was not a common culture that we were coming from. The who we were being settled was one factor, but what we did when we arrived in Iowa was another very dominant strain in who we are today.
Well, and many places in the nation, and I'll pick out one of our close neighbors, and we'll talk a little bit about Minnesota, or quite a bit about Minnesota probably this hour. You know, when people think about Minnesota, they think about the Norwegian culture and the Scandinavian culture, and that so many settlers who went to Minnesota came from those countries. It sounds like Iowa was more of a mix. Is that accurate?
Yes. And up until World War One, Iowa was less of a melting pot than having a conglomerate of ethnic traditions within particular towns. We had a lot of native of European language newspapers. European immigrants tended to settle with each other and form distinctive communities. World War One really changed that when being anything other than American was seen as unpatriotic or something to be stamped out, if possible. But there were many communities in Iowa, German, Irish, and of course we recognize the Norwegian and the Dutch and the Czech communities, that English was not the spoken language on the streets.
Well, and I know that World War One really, really changed that for the German communities, because suddenly they weren't speaking German in school, they weren't speaking German in their churches, and I, even in my family, my great-grandfather changed his first name, or dropped his first name, because it was Detlef, and so he just went by D. So that people wouldn't immediately think of him as being German. Did that really affect the other ethnicities as much as it affected the Germans?
And that was they resented that. The Danes did not see themselves as un-American, but they were painted with the same brush. You're speaking some language other than English, therefore you are not true American. In the 1920s, we had the rise of the Ku Klux Klan in Iowa, that anything that looked in any way un-American, and that included Catholics, because they were loyal to the Pope who was in Rome, and unfortunately African Americans who didn't look like the American that was the model and the power structure at that time, anything that wasn't true American became suspect. We got over that to a large extent, but World War One and the changes it brought made us a little defensive and insular.
So as difficult a time as that was, it sounds like maybe that is the period in time when Iowa culture, as something unique to itself, really came into being.
I tend to think of Iowa culture, what unifies us are the symbols, the stories we share together. Iowa, I think the Corn Belt culture all across the upper Ohio River Valley, Iowa, eastern Nebraska, southern Minnesota, there is a corn belt culture that's small town, rural oriented, and that's common through the area. What makes Iowa unique, I think, are the stories that we have, the symbols we have, the unifying elements like RAGBRAI and State Fair and the girls' basketball tournaments and so forth. The stories that we know together, both at the state and the local level, I think are what make Iowans unique.
Well, and Mike, I want to bring you into the conversation now. And Mike, as the founder of Raygun, you have been telling stories about Iowa on people's T-shirts for a number of years now. And you're one of the people who's really shaping the story that we tell about ourselves today. But you feel that as a state, we don't do a very good job telling our story.
Yeah, I think Iowa's kind of always been short on marketing itself in general. But we've spent more time than I think your average person should thinking about Iowa and where Iowa is going and what makes Iowans Iowans.
All right. So what's wrong with the story that you feel the state is telling? What kinds of messages do you think we're sending that may not be hitting home?
I don't think we're focusing on our good looks nearly enough. I think that's been recognized across the board in lots of different areas. But we should put that more on billboards. I don't think Iowans in general, and kind of Midwesterners in general, I don't think are big marketers of themselves, which is, you know, kind of the one drawback. But I've always kind of wished that Iowa would focus more towards its natural advantages, which is that you know, it really is the most Midwestern of all the Midwestern states. When we were doing research for the book, you kind of found that you would ask people to draw what is the Midwest. And if you were located in Nebraska, it was the Plain States over to Illinois. And if you were located in Michigan, it was kind of the Great Lakes states over to Iowa. So either the Great Lakes or the Plains got left off. But Iowa was almost always in there. And so I think people think of Iowa as this really simple kind of American Gothic style picture across the board, which I think can be an advantage. It can sometimes be a disadvantage in that they think that we're just like simple people who like to stand with our pitchforks and wives in front of houses. But I think that, you know, simple nature is also good, and that the other side of the coin is that people think of us as the birthplace of, you know, people like Superman.
Well, and this is a not going to sound good to people who work on marketing Iowa tourism. But, you know, I spent 10 years outside of the state. And Mike, I know that you've lived elsewhere as well and then have come back to Iowa. But when I was living in Michigan, I talked about Iowa all the time and I would get people excited. And then they would almost inevitably say something like, well, if I visited Iowa, where would I go? And then I would stop talking because I thought I don't know how you would experience Iowa if you went to visit the state of Iowa. What do you think about that? What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, I've always been more of a you should go visit Des Moines, because I think if you go to visit New York City, there's all sorts of things you want to see in New York City, from the Statue of Liberty to the Empire State Building. And if you're only there for 3 days, you're never going to hit all the stuff that you're supposed to see in a city like New York or London. Whereas if you go to Des Moines, seeing just about anything is more than you expected from Des Moines. And so, I mean, I think coming to Des Moines, you do get a quintessential Iowa view. One thing Iowa doesn't have, which a lot of the Midwestern states have, is, you know, an anomaly in a city, where Illinois has Chicago, Michigan has Detroit. The Iowa cities like Des Moines or Cedar Rapids are kind of what you would expect Iowa cities to look like. And so I think you can get a pretty accurate cross-section of Iowa by coming to a city like Des Moines in general.
And if you are trying to convince someone they should come to Iowa, what do you tell them? Why should they visit?
Why should they visit?
Right.
I kind of look at, you know, why you should visit anywhere. It was interesting that when you meet people from out east, I lived in Philadelphia for a while, and, you know, you would say, oh, yeah, there's friends of mine have never been to New York, and that would blow their minds. Because to them, people should want to go from Iowa to New York to, you know, broaden their horizons. And if you have been from Iowa to New York, you're cultured. But if you don't go from New York to Iowa, it's kind of like, well, who cares? Nobody wants to go to Iowa anyway. And so I think just from a cultural experience, it's necessary to travel around. I think Iowa has as much to kind of offer people as other states, just in terms of learning about people. You go to a city like New York, and I kind of found that, you know, it's a great city, but it can be as small town and provincial in certain ways as a place in Iowa, too.
Well, we are talking about Iowa culture today, and my guests are Mike Draper, the founder and owner of Raygun in Des Moines, Tom Moraine, historian of Graceland University in Lamoni, and we also want to hear from you. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We want to hear what you think makes Iowa unique and what you think makes Iowans special as well. Or maybe you don't think we're so special. We want to hear that as well. 866-780-9100. And we asked some Iowa Public Radio listeners how they think Iowa fits in culturally with the rest of the Midwest, and maybe what state Iowa has the most in common with. We heard this response from Peggy in West Des Moines. She says, I grew up in Wisconsin and just returned from living in Minnesota in the Twin Cities for a year. I've traveled extensively in the U.S. and worked with people in different parts of the country. I can say that Iowans are truly among the genuinely nicest, most friendly people I've encountered. And they aren't just friendly in a surface or fake kind of way. They truly care. But that is only the first of a long list of things I appreciate about Iowans. The others are literacy, our pride in and appreciation for education, our determination to do things the right way, not necessarily the easy way, and our desire and ability to be world citizens with an appreciation for other cultures. We have a lot of common sense, but also a willingness to back some kind of crazy out there ideas, like the bottle deposit law, resettling Vietnamese and Bosnian refugees, a peace caravan to protest the nuclear arms race, and RAGBRAI that turned out to be pretty darn good things. There's a decency and goodness here that you don't find in many other places. And Tom, we do give ourselves a lot of credit for this decency and goodness in Iowa. I know not all people share that opinion, but do you think that that is something that characterizes Iowans?
Yes, yes, I do. And I think it's, I think it, if I can speak historically, I think it comes from a small town, a neighborhood perspective that for most of Iowa's growing up years, we had. You knew the people around you. You expected help from them, and you expected to give help if they needed that. And that was just part of the culture.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back here to talk about Iowa culture in just a moment, and we do want to hear from you this hour. I'm talking with Tom Moraine of Graceland University and Mike Draper of Raygun in Des Moines. This is Talk of Iowa.
Well, you folks certainly do know how to make a body feel at home.
Oh, there's nothing halfway about the Iowa way to treat you when we treat you,
which we may not do at all. There's an Iowa kind, a special chip on the shoulder, attitude we've never been without.
That we recall.
We can be cold as a falling thermometer in December.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this hour we're talking about Iowa culture. What makes Iowa, Iowa? What makes Iowans, Iowans? And we want to hear from you with your thoughts at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me today are Tom Moraine, a historian who is based now at Graceland University in Lamoni, and Mike Draper of Raygun, satirical t-shirt company based in Des Moines. And gentlemen, we're going to go to the phones. We have a number of people who want to get in on this conversation. Karen is on the line next from Des Moines. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I am so glad to be in Iowa. I'm not a native, but I've lived here now for 30 years. And in recent years, we had one of our children who had attended college on one of the right coast, I guess you'd say, and who then interacted with a lot of people from the East Coast who she found, you know, asked silly questions like, do you have paved roads? And are there pigs running in the street? And I think they were ribbing her, but when she married in Des Moines, a lot of those East Coast people came to the wedding, and Des Moines showed off beautifully in November when it was 69 degrees, and they all trooped over to Raygun and bought T-shirts, and they went to the sculpture garden. And I just, I think if those folks knew one or two Iowans, they become Iowa. Wherever you go, you sort of embody Iowa, whoever you are, for good or ill. When there are people that don't know anyone else that is an Iowan, and I just think that by bringing 70 people here, roughly, from either coast, we changed the view of those people of Iowa by showing off a beautiful city, somewhat cosmopolitan, certainly more cosmopolitan than they ever had thought. And, you know, I can't say enough good things about our city and state wherever we go.
Well, and Karen, let me ask you, you said you're not an Iowa native. When did you move here?
Oh, in 84.
And did you move to Des Moines or did you move somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people, and we have an email here that I'll read in a couple of minutes about how difficult it is to become part of communities in Iowa. There are many people who've talked about that over the years, that maybe Iowans aren't very welcoming of outsiders. Did you have any kind of an experience like that when you moved here?
Well, I think it's different in Des Moines because I have a secondary knowledge of an experience of others who have moved to small towns in Iowa, or in my sister-in-law's case in Wisconsin, and they think it is difficult to break into the culture of a small town. But in a big town, there are so many people that are new here, and we find each other, and the locals seem to embrace us after a while. So I really didn't experience that.
All right. Well, Karen, thank you so much for calling today.
Thank you.
And Mike, I think because of your T-shirts, a lot of us who have been ambassadors of Iowa are now visible ambassadors of Iowa when we go out and about. Because, of course, if you wear a T-shirt that says you're from Iowa, people will ask you questions about it. You're also far more likely to meet other Iowans, which I experienced in Chicago over the summer. But as an ambassador of Iowa at times yourself, what do you think about what Karen said?
Yeah, I kind of had the same thing in Philadelphia. The first time I thought about moving the company back to Iowa was when I was just at a party in Philadelphia and had a shirt that just said Iowa on it. And somebody stopped me and said, oh, that shirt is hysterical. Where did you get that? And I was like, I got it in Iowa. I'm from there. And they're like, oh. And so I realized that in terms of the quirky T-shirts, the bar was set pretty low. But then if I would be walking anywhere with an Iowa shirt on, it could be, you know, across Broadway and somebody would shout, are you from Iowa? We're from Iowa, too. And you're like, great. It's good to see you. And when she kind of mentioned that, we have a shirt at the store that says, Des Moines, let us exceed your already low expectations. Because we would have a lot of people who would come in for weddings and things like that and say, yeah, this is my first time in Des Moines. We're from Boston. You know, man, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. And you're like, wow, thanks so much for the compliment. And we kind of, you know, you'll get that where, you know, people are surprised at what we have. But it's also one of those that, you know, I live here not because the exits aren't clearly marked for the state, but because, you know, I choose to live here. I do like it. And so I think that's what people, you know, kind of have to – what they have to see when the caucuses were in town and everyone packs up and leaves to go to a new city. The kids who are staffing the caucuses were like, well, what do you guys do now? And you're like, well, we live here. So we're probably going to stay. We don't shut down the store, pack up and head to Columbus, Ohio and pretend to be natives of Columbus. But I think we've all, you know, we've all kind of liked it here. And the thing we've tried to do at the store is when you have things like let us exceed your already low expectations, or we have the native stickers, but we also have stickers that say captive. We try to kind of play off of the idea that this is someplace that we're all trapped in.
Well, Tom, you're in Lamoni now. You've lived in Des Moines. Where else have you lived in Iowa?
I grew up in Jefferson, and I went to school in Iowa City.
All right. So you've been around the state quite a bit. Have you ever lived outside the state?
Not for very long.
But so you have made a conscious choice to be an Iowan. Do you know why you made that decision?
Well, for one thing, this was where my wife got the job when we were out of grad school. That helped. But going back to that idea of Iowa, I think the attraction of Iowa is a place to live. And the first questions were, well, why would you want to visit? Why would we want to be a vacation spot? I don't think Iowans are going to try to compete with the Grand Canyon as where you want to go on your family vacation.
We'd have to start digging now.
Yeah, but in terms of where you want to live, I think a lot of people who have gone from Iowa, when it's time to raise kids, when it's time, where do I want them in schools? What kind of neighborhoods do I want to be in? That's where Iowa really starts to look good. And for, I think, my wife and me, if we had our choice of would you like to have a baby in downtown New York City and deal with childcare and deal with the mechanics of living, it's going to be a whole lot different than the situation we had in Ames, Iowa, where our babysitter was two doors down the street from us, and she was the czarina of the neighborhood. All the neighborhood kids were under her watchful eye. We had a wonderful place to raise children, and I think Iowa's family orientation is our strength, and that's harder to make a public sexy attraction, but boy, when it comes to getting the kids off to school and knowing they're in good schools and having a safe environment to grow up, I think that's a very unique attraction of the Midwest.
Well, and my glib line that said basically exactly what you're saying, Tom, when I lived in Michigan, I always told my friends, well, Iowa is a wonderful place to live, but I wouldn't want to visit there. So, which, again, might upset some tourism people here. But I want to read one of the responses that we got to our question to our listeners about what other states Iowa is like. This is from Catherine in Ankeny. She says, I was born and raised in Minnesota, lived in North Dakota for 5 years and South Dakota for 20 years. We moved here in 2004. for, and Iowa is not like anywhere I've lived. I'm often reminded of the lines from The Music Man, which you heard a few minutes ago. Oh, there's nothing halfway about the Iowa way to greet you, if we greet you, which we may not do at all. Since moving here, I've come to know a handful of neighbors, no one at my church, and scores of friends from my work. I don't get it, but I quit trying to understand and just accept that it is the Iowa way. It seems in general, though, that we live in the land of, but we've always done it that way, and if you don't know the secret handshake, too bad for you. So Catherine's not as big a fan of Iowa nice as many people, and I know her experience is not, she's not the only one to have those feelings about moving into Iowa from being an outsider. But that question of what other states we are like, Tom, you weighed in a little bit because we're part of the Corn Belt in your mind. How about you, Mike? What other states do you think Iowa is like?
I'm of the same mind that Iowa is in kind of a unique spot. I think, you know, there's always a competition a little bit with Minnesota, but I always think that's more of a one-way competition. I'm not sure Minnesota knows that we're in competition with it. but I think, you know, they have Minneapolis. Also, they have Prince and F. Scott Fitzgerald and Lake Wobegon. You know, Wisconsin has kind of Milwaukee. Illinois has Chicago. But then if you go west of us, you know, Nebraska is kind of dead after Lincoln, no offense, Kearney and North Platte, and kind of the same with the Dakotas. So I think Iowa is in a unique spot. I kind of prefer to compete with Nebraska because that's, I think, a competition we can win easily.
So wait, you're saying we'd lose in a fight with Minnesota?
Well, it depends on what we're going after. I think Minnesota, I always considered like more the San Francisco of the Midwest, where there's just a smugness about it that I find irritating. You know, they have lakes,
okay, so
obviously.
We can feel superior to them.
Yeah,
that, right?
In terms of the smugness. Yeah, but then when you take Prince and F. Scott Fitzgerald, it's tough on the cultural side.
We have a lot of great writers from Iowa. I mean, I'm a Fitzgerald fan, but okay.
Yeah, I just think we don't, ours haven't, again, done enough marketing apparently for themselves. But
all right. Well, let's get back to the phones. Trish is on the line from Bettendorf. Hi, Trish.
Good morning.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
I'd like to comment on the discussion about getting integrated into the Iowa community when you're not an Iowan.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here when I got married, and I asked somebody one day, well, what do you guys do for fun here? And they go, oh, we volunteer, very cheerily. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But what I realized is that most of the people I know each other either from church or from volunteering. And so I started volunteering, and it's made a huge difference in the number of people I know across the Quad Cities. And then the other thing I'd like to say is when you're talking about places to visit, you need to consider Davenport. I know Des Moines is really exciting and all that, but Davenport is really the history of Iowa, from founding the Civil War battles, the arsenal, Indian treaties. It just goes on and on.
Well, and it was the most wicked town in the West, right?
Well, that's true, too. But we kind of got away from that. Now we have really great museums and all kinds of exciting things to do.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Trish.
You're welcome.
And
Can I jump in there,
Tom,
for just a minute?
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a sense that our sense of hometown community can sometimes be so strong that those who aren't part of it or come in from the outside and who don't share that common bond can feel alienated. One of the biggest integrating factors, though, is children.
Right.
If you have children who go to the schools, those kids feel part of the town from word go, and parental involvement in school activities is a great integrating activity. If you come in without kids, so much of our social life is oriented toward family activities that can be harder. And I would agree there. But again, as a place to raise families, you get involved in the community through your family involvement, and that often means kids and birthday parties and PTA and potlucks and so forth that you're involved in. Your friends become the parents of your children's friends.
Well, I think that's
an integrative
absolutely
true activity.
I have noticed, this is just an anecdotal observation, though, that in my children's school, the parents from other cultures seem to feel reluctant to get involved. I think that it can be very intimidating. So it can be a wonderful way to meet people, but I can understand where that would be a very difficult hurdle to get through if you're not comfortable with the language and you're not familiar with the volunteer culture of how PTA and that kind of thing works in the United States and in Iowa, too.
If you give them a recipe for tuna casserole, they will be Iowans in a few months.
All right. We have this email that makes me feel proud somehow, Tom. this is an email from Nick in Chicago. He says, "We all know that Iowa is the greatest state in the union, but we'll quietly let others go on about themselves and their states because it would be rude to interrupt. Surviving in Iowa back in the day was a challenge. You'd only make it if you were smart, kind, hardworking, friendly, and had a good sense of humor. Those attributes and ethics have passed down through the generations, creating stereotypes. Living in Chicago, time and time again, folks in my neighborhood attribute my actions and attitudes to being an Iowan. I always take it as a compliment and hopefully we'll be moving back again soon." And, you know, we are going to experience, it seems. I'm not clairvoyant, but I'm guessing that this is going to be a true Iowa winter. and that really does develop character in all of us. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, it kind of culls the herd.
Yeah.
In the movie Gran Torino, which takes place at in Detroit, Clint Eastwood is talking to one of the Hmong immigrants, and he says, "Oh, I kind of like the winter. It keeps the a-holes away." And I was kind of – that's, I think, Iowa's view is it's one of those kind of tough things you have to put up with. I remember – I think you had on this show one time a guy who was talking about fruits, and he said, you know, you usually get the best-tasting kind of fruit if the tree is, you know, tested a little bit, and then it gets a little cold.
Yep.
And it gets a little hot whenever you have a wide range of temperatures. And he said, which I think is kind of true for people in general, that it's – you know, some of the nicest people are the ones who have to survive through cold and hot. And you agreed with him, and I was listening on the radio and thought, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. That's
winter.
Why I put up with the winter. It's so
right.
I'm a better-rounded person.
At least that's winter what we tell ourselves.
Yeah.
Winter in Iowa is penance. I mean, yeah. Whatever you did bad last year, going through a winter kind of wipes it off. you survived, and spring comes again, and you're a new person.
Well, I also think maybe we have such beautiful spring, summers, and falls that it is the price we pay for all of those. Kevin is on the line from Corydon. Hi, Kevin.
How do you do?
Hi. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I first of all would like to say that I did my part. I grew up in suburban Chicago, and met a girl from Iowa when I was in grad school in Evanston. And before we got married, we made the decision to come here to Iowa. And as I mentioned to the fellow...
Prenuptial agreement.
Pardon?
A prenuptial agreement.
Something like that, yeah. But I've not looked back. As of 2007, I have now spent... most of my life in Iowa as an adult, if you want to say. My wife and I are both pastors, and so the thing about, you know, meeting people right away and being embraced right away was sort of a given for us because that's the way it is in the church. And it was especially helpful to us because when we came to Iowa, my wife was expecting our first child. And so having, being new pastors and having a child right away, and of course never having seen a minister who was pregnant before, I mean, that was quite a novelty as well. All of this sort of added up to make our welcome in Iowa something that we will never forget. They just bent over backwards for us. And talking about, you know, raising our kids in this state, that too is something we've never looked back on. Our kids ended up thriving greatly while they were in school here. Our oldest went to Simpson, did grad school at Iowa. Our youngest is a Cyclone. They have just done great here. So I'm very proud to call myself an Iowan, even though I'm not originally from here.
Well, you can call yourself a transplant. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks a lot for sharing. We have a lot of emails coming in that I want to get to. This one is from Stephanie. I'm from Nebraska, so the move to Iowa wasn't... Oh, wait, this isn't from Stephanie. I don't think so. Okay, this is... Or maybe it is. I'm a little confused now. I'm from Nebraska.
We like Stephanie.
All right. I do, too. It is from Stephanie. I was a little confused here. All right. I'm from Nebraska, so the move to Iowa wasn't that much of a switch for me, but I came here to be with my wife, who is from Puerto Rico. She came here to attend UNI for her bachelor's in microbiology and found that she loved the state for its accessibility, cultural opportunities, low crime rate, affordability, and many other reasons. Over the past 15 years or so, she's convinced a number of her family to follow her example and leave the bustle and crowding of Puerto Rico behind to come and raise their families here. Now we've established a small Puerto Rican enclave in Cedar Rapids, and we keep bringing new Iowans in every few years. I've found that once a person makes it out here, they tend to want to stay. And every time I talk to my family back in Nebraska, I do my best to get them to uproot and move out here to live in paradise with us. Stephanie's doing her part to build our population. I think a lot of people also try to keep it a secret how nice it is here. But I'm sure
she should apply for tax credits for something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This email's from Ken. The small town I grew up in that I couldn't wait to leave when I was 18 looked very different to me when I was 38, married with three young children. As Tom Moraine said, we value community, supporting one another, helping one another. After being away from Iowa for 20 years, living in Southern California and the Chicago area, I see that those values are easily developed and nurtured in small towns or neighborhoods. I fear that as smaller rural towns fade in Iowa, so too will those values. And, you know, we do see our culture changing in Iowa. We see more and more people living in urban areas. And, Mike, how do you see that changing Iowa?
Yeah, I think at the core it's still pretty similar. I mean, I grew up in a little town, so there's obviously, you know, dying small towns. But Iowa still is not, you know, fly to country. it's always been kind of flyover country, and it's interesting to read people's, even from way back in the, you know, the days at Grant Wood, it was still this place that people passed through. And I think that's always going to be the underlying aspect of, I think the tricky thing with assimilating is, you know, where you went to high school is kind of the big question, because where you go to college is kind of determined by what you study. And people are always asking where you went to high school. And my wife is from London, England, and found it strange when people are like, where'd you go to high school? She's like, how familiar are you with boarding schools in England? but I think there's this deferential nature because we're flyover country that, you know, there's a little standoffishness, but people are always worried that my wife is bored, or it's, you know, they're always concerned that she's not having enough fun in Iowa, and she loves it here. But it's one of those that when you're in New York from Iowa, there's this feeling that, oh, we've saved you. You know, you're from this totally backward place, and now you're in, like, the promised land of New York. Whereas when you're in Iowa, there's always more of a deferential, where you were must be so exciting if you're from London, which I think it makes it a little easier to assimilate, but I can see how if you didn't go to high school here, it can be tricky.
All right. Well, we are nearly out of time. So, Tom, I'll let you weigh in with your last thoughts on that, as well as Iowa culture may be changing with more and more people living in urban areas.
I think social media is making a big impact. We can take our circle of friends and go wherever we want to and keep those same circle of friends, and that's good. The downside is that if we keep our social media friends and don't involve ourselves in our community, we're going to lose that essential belongingness that we need. And you can be by yourself in a big city, or you can be by yourself in a small town. But you need to connect with your community.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for connecting with us today.
Thank you.
Tom Moraine, a historian based at Graceland University in Lamoni. And Mike Draper, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Mike Draper of Raygun in Des Moines. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.